Mike's Divided. We are going to be talking about a little different things today. We're going to be talking about Netflix shows and other things that we kind of take into account and how we've been kind of dealing with our quarantine a little bit. We've been able to really binge watching all these shows now, I would say.
We've got a lot of time
on our hands. So me and Zach here, we're going to talk about kind of our favorite shows. I personally am going to be talking about The Office.
And I'll be talking about Lucifer.
So totally different shows and a lot of different characters and traits and a lot of different storyline that goes along with it. So right now we're going to start out here. I'm going to talk a little bit about The Office and all the characters that really go into it. The Office really is a show that's kind of like more of a comedy show, I would say, but it also has some romance in it too, and it's a show that really grabs a lot of people and a lot of binge watching for seasons, because I mean it went to nine seasons. They're still thinking about like reboots and all that stuff. But really what it comes down to is a lot of the relationships, and I think a lot of the people love the uncomfortable events that happen with mainly people like Michael Scott who bring this stuff to the table. But just the uncomfortable little instances that they have, the looks that people get are just hilarious, and that's what really distinguishes this show. I would say that we're going to kind of break down a little bit the characters here and what they bring to the table. So talk to us a little bit here about Jim Halpert, one of John Krasinski, a great actor, somebody that really is a big-time name on this show.
So Jim is the office prankster in a way. You know, he sees the job as a joke, he plays games, lightens the mood, but he's also a romantic character. But I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You said The Office was a comedy, but also be seen as a romance.
Yeah.
Which one do you see it as?
Yeah, so really, I kind of take it, you know, as a guy, I kind of take it more of as a comedy, but I really see why girls also find it an appealing show as well, just because of his relationship with Pam, and really, he's gone through, both him and Pam really go through it, where they've been through different people, and really have to go through the wrong people to get to the right one, which is eventually each other. And that's kind of where it comes from, and that's kind of what makes the show so great, is seeing, it makes it more realistic. Because think about how many times does somebody date the same person their whole life and able to make it work? Not very often. So when that stuff happens, you got to really go through the wrong people to get to the right people, and that's something that we can take into our realistic lives and kind of apply that to ourselves. So, but next we're going to talk about Michael Scott, the man, the myth, the legend, somebody that's very inappropriate, but he's somebody that I think everybody really warmed up to and really liked.
You love Prison Mike.
Prison Mike. Prison Mike. I mean, he's a sly guy. He's just got something about him that's very different and something that he really takes into account. And kind of him on the show, really, is just him being somebody that's so open about everything and just has no filter. Is just amazing to me.
Do you think Michael Scott is that guy that, like, people think they are in a way, you know?
Yeah.
But they're like, I can't say what I want to say. Right. But kudos to him.
Yeah.
And as we know, Michael Scott isn't in every season.
Right, yeah.
When he leaves the show,
mm-hmm.
did that change
yeah.
the atmosphere?
Yeah, so when he eventually falls in love, I won't tell who with, in case the people haven't seen it, but when he does, and he ends up leaving the show, and, you know, I never really got to the bottom as to why he left the show, and if they wanted to cut him out, it was kind of his decision, but either way, there's a time in the show when he decides, you know, this is the time that I'm left on The Office, and I just want to go up, and, you know, we transition there. At first, it goes to Will Ferrell, who plays D'Angelo Vickers, who is, you know, his replacement, and everybody kind of thought that would be really funny, and I don't know if the writers really just didn't agree with it or what, because he was only on it for, like, a few episodes, and Will Ferrell is a great actor, so to me, really seeing somebody like Will Ferrell take over that role, it's just a different atmosphere, because Michael was somebody that everyone knew with his role, that he's going to be that inappropriate boss that says what he's not supposed to say, has these relationships and these bad things that are going on with everybody. So, you know, he, at the end of the day, and when it came down to it and him leaving, people really appreciated Michael and what he did as a boss and how he made the You're working in a paper company. Right. It's not fun. It shouldn't be fun. But Michael Scott made it fun. And as a boss, that's what you got to do. And that's what really sets yourself aside from all these other bosses out there. And that's what makes Michael Scott such a great character.
This is why our mics are divided. You said Will Ferrell was a great actor.
I
don't like him.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I don't like Will Ferrell.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I liked him in Elf.
Okay.
And
you're in a PG movie. You like the other guys? The other
it was good.
The other guys is hilarious.
Even Step Brothers, all right.
Okay,
but
all
right. I'm more of a Jim Carrey guy.
Oh, man. Interesting. Interesting. That is a hot take. Opinionated for sure. But let's move on now to... Let's talk about Dwight Schrute a little bit. Somebody that, you know, Rainn Wilson, a great actor. I've seen so many interviews. But such a weird character to be on the show.
He's a weird guy, and he reminds me of a couple of my friends in general. he's that guy
yeah.
that everybody can relate to, though.
Yes.
And there's always that...
Everybody has that one friend
who's super serious all the time, and whenever he's telling a joke,
yeah.
you can't tell it's a joke.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, what do we do with that? But
hey, at least he works hard.
He is a hard worker, and he really gets under Jim's skin, but Jim also gets under his skin. They prank each other all the time. There's a couple episodes where Dwight tries to go back, but Dwight's so serious about his work.
Yep.
So I think that's something that Jim uses to his advantage and is able to really exploit him. And he's so gullible, too.
I think my favorite interaction between Jim and Dwight was that snowball fight.
Oh, yeah. It gets too crazy.
It just gets intense. It's 100 real quick.
Yeah, I really think that Dwight is one of the best characters on the show, and really, Rainn Wilson just did an amazing job, and somebody that was able to really capture that one person in the office that we all really see, and that people have, that takes their job too seriously, and you're like, oh, gosh, he's got to try hard.
Yeah, but gotta wear that suit and tie.
But he doesn't wear the sleeves on his shirt. He's a great character on this show because of what he brings, and just somebody that's agriculture and doing beet farming. It's hilarious. So I really love Dwight on the show. But somebody else that we can talk about now with part of the relationship that we were talking about earlier is Pam Beasley, who ended up being Pam Halpert. But somebody that I just feel as though she was really one of those soft-spoken people, and that's a character in the show that we saw grow as the show.
Right.
She opened up, she became somebody that really was a focus. I mean, she kind of was at the beginning of the show, but, you know, But at the beginning of the show, they're just kind of worried about introducing people and trying to talk about a little bit of everybody. But Pam really was somebody that came out and did, like, pretty much everything, was able to share her story and make it... You know, the best thing about The Office is the fact that it is a documentary and the fact that it's kind of supposed to be. And they're making a documentary about this paper company. So it's like... They know they're on a show, but they still don't act the way they do, and they're filming being on a show on a show. It's a little confusing, but when you see it and you put it all together, it makes a lot of sense. So
you talked about Pam, and you said how Pam went from Pam Beasley to Pam Halpert.
Mm-hmm.
How did that relationship grow, like, to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I saw a lot in Pam, and I saw that when she was with Roy, eventually, earlier in the show, and it kind of just, at the beginning of the show, she's already with Roy, and he's just a, you know, he's not a bad boyfriend or anything, but the reasoning is, he's her fiancé, and the thing about that is, they were fiancés for like, I think it was like 3 years or something, so he asked her to be his wife, but he never really had intentions or drive to change things and go to the next level. So, in my opinion, what really happens between them and how things develop, she kind of saw that he wasn't as serious about her as she was about him, and then she had such a good connection with Jim along the way. What do we always talk about? How friends make the best, you know, a company and girlfriends, and, you know, I mean, just the way it's spouses.
You're dating your best friend and you're married to your best friend.
Right,
you're
exactly.
You're doing it right.
That's exactly what it is, because in my opinion, if I look at somebody and I get to know them first, that's something that I can already tell. And you want your wife to be
intimacy.
You want your girlfriend to be the person that you tell about your day and who you are
and
how everything
works. You can be completely open with them.
Right.
And you're not embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And that's kind of what they found in each other. It took a long time, and you'll see it throughout the show, but they really developed as a couple and were able to eventually be one of the favorites going down the road, and people just were rooting for Jim and Pam.
Were you happy?
Oh, absolutely. I was. And I also think Jim is just a stud anyway. So John Krasinski gets my vote anyway. So Pam really was able to, you know, handle, she had to go to art school, a few other things, but it just all kind of wrapped around eventually. It led to each other. You know, they were led to each other. So that was kind of the thing. You know, let's go off now. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. Talk to me a little bit about Ryan. He's, you know, he's a temp in the job, but, you know.
He doesn't really like his job the way I saw it. You know, he wasn't really content with it, and he gets arrested as a supervisor.
Yeah, when he got moved on, he got moved to that chair.
That was kind of a shock to me.
That was something that I think it shocked a lot of people.
It shocked me, and then the relationship with Kelly also kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah, so here's the thing. With Kelly, I felt like that was more of a one-way street anyway, because Kelly was so obsessed with Ryan that he also felt like he kind of was imprisoned to her a little bit. He was kind of the guy that was on the receiving end, like, the whole time with her.
It's kind of crazy when you say he was prisoned and then...
Yeah.
Hey, that was planned.
I write my own jokes. But, I'm just going to tie that one up. But, you know, I'll tell you, he was somebody that turned it from attempt to that, then eventually had to go back to attempt when... Because Michael loves Ryan and wanted him on his team, but didn't like him as a boss, and then it didn't work out. So then he got back on the team and resumed
his... Did Michael really like anybody, though?
Or did he just like everybody?
Did he like everybody? Did he not like anybody and just liked...
He liked himself a lot more.
Michael reminds me of one of our co-workers.
Oh, yeah. He definitely... I think we know what we're talking about. But he's just like that. And, I mean, going off to somebody that cares a lot less, too... is Stanley Hudson. Stanley Hudson being able to be that guy that Michael Scott really didn't have, like, a lot of diversity in mind, I felt like, because from the first episode and stuff, he always made a, hey, yeah, Stanley's black, and that's a, like, that was always, like, some characters, like, it's, like, not obvious to us all that he's black. But, so then, for that one, for, like, the basketball episode, where Michael's drafting his team, he picks Stanley up, he's like, this guy's gotta be good, because he's black. And Stanley starts dribbling with, like, two hands, and he's like, what is going on?
And he reminds me, this is a different show that's on Hulu's, Everybody Hates Chris, where Chris is in the white school, and then there's one episode where he does a little turnaround, you know, like, throw your trash away, you always shot like
Kobe.
And the coach was like, you're on the team. He goes, well, I can't ball, and he goes, you're just being generous. And then he didn't do anything for the team.
It's because they know they're all that much... they're not that much more athletic than us. But, you know, it was just funny because Stanley's also a guy, since he really doesn't like... It seems like he's just passing the days by working at Dunder Mifflin, but then he's taking naps. He's just...
Right.
He's a guy that doesn't... He just doesn't care, and then he does his thing. And then, but at the end of the show, we really see how Stanley is a lovable guy. And he's... He's somebody that's really well-liked.
He was looking forward to retirement.
The whole show. Hey, he eventually got it, but, you know. And then somebody else we'll talk about a little bit here is Kevin Malone. And Kevin really was somebody that...
Surprised he made it?
Yeah. Well, it's just... If you ever hear the actual actor talk and talking about how he actually can... The acting is phenomenal because he sounds nothing like that. And I know he was talking on an interview and people were like, hey, do the Kevin voice. And he's like, I'd probably get old after a while. They're like, hey, Kevin. And he's like, what the?
It's like, stop.
But I think it's... it's just something. And, you know, being a bigger guy on the show, eating M&Ms and just being that guy that, like, people always, you know, Michael would punch fun at anybody, but always make comments about Kevin's weight. Just hilarious.
Do you think... That was Kevin's way, was not being really good at his job, was, like, a shot at Michael, though, to be, like...
I do think that, and, I mean, I also think that he... I sadly don't think that was his choice. Maybe he did try hard, he just wasn't good at it.
He knew what he signed up for.
Yeah, and he was just like, I mean, I'm sure knowing to him, he's like, I'm an accountant. An accountant's not an easy job.
You
should not be putting somebody that's not that strong on the force of one right there. But, you know, it happens. It happened the way it happened. And working in that accounting department as well is Oscar Martinez, who another person, Michael, really makes...
Oscar.
Michael makes it very well known that Oscar's gay multiple times in the show.
And Oscar's always wrong.
Yeah, right.
Is he really right, though?
I think he's right a lot of the time. He's just like a human Wikipedia.
He's right, but then Michael can't be wrong.
I know. Michael does not agree with half the stuff. So Oscar really, that scene, you know, he goes on to kind of go on with the senator, which is Angela's husband at the time, and because he was gay, and Angela didn't know, and blah, blah, blah. But basically, going off of that, and the way that Angela really had to deal with that whole situation, we'll talk about Angela in a minute, but Oscar really was the guy that kind of was a little more sneaky, and just kind of, how all these characters really see a different side of them during the show, and they just develop into who they really are. And that's one of the best things about this show, and that's what really, I think, I took away from it the most, is how much of a difference it makes listening to all these people, listening to how they can open up and be themselves. Somebody that didn't really open up that much, though, in my opinion, was kind of Toby, because Toby was, one thing I found out about Toby was part of being a writer on the show, and Toby really was, he's like the most hated character on The Office, which is kind of crazy, but... By Michael especially, and now I think that's part of it just because he's HR, and Michael spends a lot of time with HR.
Hey, we love HR.
But all the inappropriate stuff, he has to meet up with HR. So, I mean, I do think that he tries to keep Michael in line, but he's also got that weird crush on Bam, right?
Yep.
He's like, there was that one episode, they're like stuck in the lobby, and he just puts his hand on Bam's leg while Jim's dating her, and Jim just that like face where he's like, and then Toby's just like, oh, I'm just gonna dip out of here, and he's just kind of like soft spoken, so it's like nobody really takes him seriously.
Right.
But he'll have those little outbreaks where people are like, okay,
he's
serious, all right. Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah, so but speaking of, we were just talking about Oscar, Angela Martin, who eventually is, you know, she had always been into Dwight a little bit, and she kind of used Dwight, I felt like, because, one, for power, because Dwight always had that drive to be a leader at Dunder Mifflin, but really was the main reason she used him, like, sexually, because she didn't, you know, obviously, I guess when she had a gay husband, it's a little tougher to be able to...
It's a little bit awkward.
Yeah, but she didn't know he was gay, so, like, you're sitting there, but... You know, really, her and Dwight were kind of a couple I was rooting for the whole time, too. Because no matter how bitter Angela was, which is another character, by the way, whose real name is Angela. So people see her out of the streets and be like, hey, Angela! And she's like, oh, do I know those people? And everybody's like, no, that's a character on the internet.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but obsessed with her cat, somebody that really was just such a different character, and just how she really made things... You know, she was kind of bitter in The Office, but then at the end of the show, she was somebody that really showed a lot of love for the rest of the, you know, the rest of the team. So it was interesting to see.
Which relationship did you like more?
Oh, that is tough. I guess just by the way things ended, I really like seeing Dwight and Angela with the way that... Because I felt that Jim and Pam really kind of just grew as the show. The entire show.
It's like you knew they were going to.
Yeah, exactly. You knew things were going to work out. But then you go on to Angela and Dwight and having this whole relationship where it kind of started as just hookups and also started like with power and all these reasoning why. But the main thing at the end was just like the reasoning why, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the reasoning why and why they actually get together and how she really proves her love for it. It's unbelievable. And just... The last few, I will say, as much of a comedy and as much of a romance as this show is, there's a few episodes that will really give you, there's a few tearjerkers, I think, when, like, Michael's last day and a few other things. I mean, it brings romance, comedy, and emotion to life so much in the show that it's just, that's what's
it
so great about it.
It makes it one of the top series.
That's what's so great about it. So this actually was one of my favorite characters, which is really funny, but... Creed Bratton is so funny because he is so random with things that people will just be sitting there and he'll mention something and like there's like a scene where all of them are just puking and like nauseous in the office and throwing up and they pan over to Creed and the guy's sitting there just eating ramen noodles just like just watching everybody.
Just
everybody's like, what is going on? So he's so off the rails that he's also a guy that's making like He's doing like fake ID business.
I was like, doesn't he do a lot of legal stuff?
Yeah, oh yeah, fake IDs. He's doing like, he's, you know, I don't know what kind of, I'm sure he's got a lot more other things going on, but there's a scene where they show that. And, you know, he gets in trouble and that's why he was released later.
Shocker.
It's, yeah. And
spoilers!
Speaking of trouble, what do we talk? Meredith Palmer is somebody that I really just, somebody that was just never a dull moment with her. She was so bold, alcoholic, somebody that was crazy about sex, was able to just, like, at parties, just went way too far.
She was living her best life.
She, yeah. And I think it was funny, on the last episode, they were talking, and she was like, I'm really glad all these cameras were on me, because if they weren't, I would have done some vulgar things, and we're all just like, wait a minute.
Tell.
I can't imagine what would have been worse. So, yeah, no, she just, I mean, she was somebody that kind of sat and did her thing, but then also, when you pan over to her, she was also so inappropriate that they had that perfect balance with the other, like, the other characters that would stay, and they'd be like, oh, Meredith,
that helped
come on.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, it was just something that kind of complemented well with everybody. But Daryl Philbin was somebody that started out as a warehouse worker, ended up getting promoted and going into the office. And that was kind of, you know, they always had the warehouse downstairs, but when you put somebody into the office, it was just so ironic because, you know, with the title of the show, it did really focus on the actual office itself. So when he got
the cabinet.
Yeah, not there, not the roof. You did see a lot of parking lots ever since, but the people that were in the office are what made the show so good, and the people that made in the office are really what shaped the show and make it. So when Daryl got introduced into the office, he became such an essential character and really was able to, you know, he showed his own family issues and stuff like that, stuff we also deal with, everybody has to deal with.
So you're saying Daryl's essential?
Very essential. Yeah, very essential. Very essential. But
love him.
And we talked about Kelly Kapoor. Kelly really was somebody that, the way we talked about with Ryan, was, you know, she always felt like somebody that was really always obsessed with him and trying to get to him, and Ryan never really felt it back till, you know, you'll see what it was just a weird relationship. And Kelly was also somebody that, she was quiet a little bit.
She was quiet, but she was also kind of a snob.
She was, well, you know, fashion and all that stuff. She really was, she thought she was more bougie than she was.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So that was kind of how I felt about her. But we don't see much of Todd Packer. But Todd Packer was completely inappropriate. DWIs, STDs, just a...
He was a super tough dude.
Yeah, he was a wild dude. Like,
that's what STD is, a super tough
dude. Oh, is that what that stands
for?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I've been using that wrong. but I think kind of... So, with all the characters, and you know, we got the, you know, you got the minor character, or the characters that came in later in the show,
right?
So like Andy and Karen and Aaron, all these guys. I mean, Gabe, which got the least favorite person on the show was Gabe Lewis, just because he was such a like a prude. I don't really know how to describe it, but he was just so unlikable that I could not.
No one likes the person that's like the teacher's pet.
Oh, and that was. And well, because he was, you know, he was the CEO's, I think, nephew.
Yeah.
And he was kind of given that job, and he's kind of the guy that's always really snarky.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of all handed to him, and he's just kind of, you know, he's just very unlikable. But, you know, people like, the last person I want to talk about was Jan. Because Jan really was somebody that kind of set the scene for the show, because she was Michael's boss, so she was already in charge of being, you know.
That must be a great job.
That must be, being in charge of Michael Scott has to have its own problems, and, you know, you have your own lawsuit on your hands, man. But Michael Scott just having to be off the rails, and you're like, he's got a tight leash, man. So, really watching her, and then she having to, when she makes the decision to, like, anything, if you ever committed any kissing or anything with Michael, you're gonna hear about it from everyone, because he's gonna tell everybody, and he's just like,
hey, he's open.
He is. He's that guy. It's like, oh man, you know, I was, this last weekend was great. Slept with Jan. Oh hey, sorry about that. And everybody's like, what the? But he's that guy that really would, you know, Jan had to just kind of keep in line for multiple reasons, just partially because of that. But I really think that Jan and Michael were really setting the stage, but, you know, that was kind of my take on The Office. I just felt like The Office was really something that, a show that people can relate to, just because I really see how a lot of our problems in the office, in any of the workplaces, we all have kind of a little bit of each character in our
right.
in our studio. Well, you can tell, you know, where we work. We've had plenty of those.
A lot of Gabes.
Very unlikable.
That's me.
But I just, you know, you see these things happen. We work with a, we don't see it as much about the romance, because we work with
a lot
of guys. But you know, I do see like a lot of these traits. You know, we mess with pranks and stuff to keep you on your toes and really keeping the workplace fun, and that's really what it comes down
to. And
we
all know the limits.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what it comes down to. And I think I can always say this, that workplaces are really what you make of them. Because
absolutely.
The jobs itself, this was a paper company. They essentially went out and got one of the most boring jobs you could possibly get and made it something fun, because you have the right people and the right, and it's feeling like a family. Yeah.
Right.
And it's something that really made it their way and were able to really set themselves aside and say, we can make this bigger than a paper gun. We're not going to all sit our cubicles and make this boring. And that's what makes The Office such a great show. So if you haven't seen The Office, I really encourage you to binge watch it. I think that it's really a great show. And especially during these hard times, people need to laugh. People need to cry. People need to love. It's something that'll really bring everybody together, and it's a really fun show to watch.
I have a few questions for you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear it.
So the first one is, you just said they should binge watch The Office. How many seasons is The Office right now?
Oh, it is 9 seasons.
And what's if you had to give one reason
mm-hmm.
why you should watch The Office? There's a lot of series
mm-hmm.
on Netflix.
Yeah.
Why choose The Office first?
So, kind of setting it aside, I'm also a big fan of Friends, That 70s Show, those great shows. But I do say The Office really, like I said about how it's just something that you can relate to. And also, I think it's just partially inside jokes too now, with
right.
How the difference, the looks is part of the reason I like The Office. The gym looks and the awkward silences are hysterical. Just like when Michael says something really inappropriate and everybody's just like,
what?
Everybody's like, well, wait, we're just going to go off that? We're going to try to not retract what you just said? So that's one of the reasons I really think that The Office stands out to me. And I think that a reason that I think other people,
can relate to.
Yeah.
And then who's your favorite character?
That is a tough question.
If you say one of the minor characters.
Somebody is not on as much as possible. I bashed on Gabe a lot, but it's by far. No, I will say, I really liked all the characters that complement each other, and really the fact that it all turned out to be a big family. But at the end of the day, I guess I still got to go with Jim, just because I kind of saw a lot of myself in him when I, being a prankster, being somebody that tries to lighten the mood with other people, and being able to, really make people smile and laugh when things aren't going the way that things should go, and being able to make that difference and something that will really, somebody that can really shine a light in a dark way. And
he's,
that's kind of
He's the good guy.
He's the good guy,
yeah.
I mean, he's, he gives Dwight a bunch of business, but
it's all fun games,
but he is the person, I guess. John Krasinski, amazing job, great actor, very impressive. I mean, I would never be opposed to an Office reboot, and I know they talked about it. I would down for a reunion, even. If that's all they have to do, just get everybody together and talk about it, or just a little segment.
Hey, the Friends cast did that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering when that's going about on, aren't they doing it like HBO or something, too,
mm-hmm.
or something? That's cool, yeah. No, absolutely. I really think that it's just so many things come out of it. So let's transition now to another show. One of your favorite shows.
This is one of my top shows.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about Lucifer. Give us a little bit of a summary just about, without ruining things, but tell us a little more about it.
So Lucifer, the best way to describe it is put crime show
mm-hmm.
and then put sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Put that together. There's a lot of religious stuff in it. Obviously, it's called Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the devil that leaves hell, leaves his job,
Yeah.
And goes to Los Angeles to start his life over.
Okay.
And he becomes a part of the Force. And he lives on his life, and there's a lot of extra characters that come in that I'll bring up later when I start developing the characters. So, the first one's obviously Lucifer. He is the literal devil. When you first see him, he is a strip club owner at Lux.
Okay, so when they first pan into him, though,
you see an attractive guy.
Which we all form as. Right. That's what the devil,
beautiful angel back.
Well, that, and then also, like, think about how many things are evil in this world
the
that
things
are covered,
you desire.
Up, covered up by, you know, yeah, beauty. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
And that was what he would do. You know, later on when he joins the Force, he would have this way, he would like, say you're a bad guy, right? He would be like, so Cam, what do you desire?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, it got the villains, the bad people, to tell the truth.
Right.
And it would show if they were actually good, if they were innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what was really cool. What's crazy is Lucifer desired a mortal in Chloe Decker, who I'll get into later. But Lucifer had endless money. You know, he could have gone back to hell on everyone. He couldn't get drunk. He would drink all the time. And he was invincible.
Mm-hmm.
The only time he was vulnerable was when Chloe was around. Mm-hmm. And that was,
it's kind of like a kryptonite.
Right.
Yeah,
and it threw people off because Chloe was agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of threw him off because that means, you know, in general, she didn't believe he was the devil.
Right.
But going on to the next person is Chloe Decker.
Mm-hmm.
She is a detective. And Lucifer calls her detective every time.
She's immortal, right?
Right, yeah. Actually, yeah, and she's a legitimate detective for the LAPD.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a daughter named Trixie. And then she's married to Dan, who...
Well, you said she's in the LAPD. So do you question on that? Why do you think that the devil would go to L.A.? Why pick L.A. out of all these places?
Well,
you could come out and just be
anywhere.
A distinguished... Yeah,
you could go to
Montana, for crying out loud, and not have to, you know, do much. But
right, you could go to New Zealand if you want.
Yeah.
So, I think he chooses Los Angeles because that's where people start their new life. You know, when you go to Los Angeles, you want to start over. And that's why they chose Los Angeles, is to have the devil who literally left hell and start his life over as...
Yeah, and why did he choose to leave hell? I mean, was that kind of a thing that really...
He was sent to hell by God.
Mm-hmm, of course.
His father.
And that's biblical, too, so you can see how that kind of transpired.
And Lucifer kept getting this rep that he's the one torturing the people in hell.
Right.
And that's not true, at least in the series.
Mm-hmm.
He was just the ruler of hell. He had demons that would torture. I'll get into the main one, being Mazikeen, in a little bit. But Lucifer was tired of that rep. He goes out to kind of rebel against God, as he does all the time, and starts a new life. And hell kind of breaks loose because he's not there controlling it.
Right, exactly.
And then he joins the Los Angeles Police Department. And that threw me for a loop. But it's because he likes punishing people that deserve it. So whenever people are being framed, he could get them to tell the truth, and then people believed it. So they were innocent. They would find the bad guy, would never kill them because, you know, that's literally one of the biggest sins. And he didn't have any vein in that.
Mm.
So he goes in. And
so does he come out as really a likable guy?
He's a likable guy.
Which is ironic.
It's weird, but it's also, that's how people portray the devil. You know, whenever the devil's in front of you, it's always someone that you really like.
Sure.
It's never that person that's trying to, they help you, but there's always a catch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what Lucifer did early on. He would give people what they wanted, but you had to make a deal with the devil.
Right.
And then usually that ends up in something bad.
Yeah.
You know, he would give them like $1 million, and then a week later they would die.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't, it's not like he killed him, it's just something would happen, and one thing led to another, and he would die. But when Chloe comes around, she and Lucifer had this odd relationship around where Lucifer's really into her, but she played it off. And his desire trick that he had never worked on her.
Okay.
And that threw Lucifer like, are you supernatural?
Yeah.
She's straight up mortal. It works on every mortal but her. And that then led Lucifer to become a civilian consultant, which is basically an LAPD assistant for Chloe. He didn't really get a badge, but he kind of just watched around. Yeah. You know, he was the guy that would eat the evidence.
Yeah,
like, this is, it's, well, we don't need this.
Yeah.
This is a half-eaten donut. I'm going to finish it. And sometimes he partakes in, you know, the
It's
drug.
Like the Pink Panther when he's like, this is a fingerprint? This
yeah,
is a
exactly. fingerprint? This, you know, he'll be drinking that glass that
yeah.
was smashed
yeah.
over someone's head. He's like, my bad.
Yeah.
But my fingerprints aren't on there because I'm immortal. And
yeah.
he's like, yeah, okay. It's like, I'm taking that away from you.
So going off the mortal thing, I guess I want to ask you, do you think the thing with when the way he's feeling with affection, is it because, first of all, we all see people like God and, you know, Satan being able to be people that really don't feel human emotions, because human emotions are something that we don't typically, they're all, since they're immortal.
They're,
so
right.
is that kind of the fact that he's starting to feel these
that's
human
a,
emotions? That's why the things don't work, right? On like whether it doesn't work.
It
on
doesn't
her.
Work on Chloe.
Yes.
Because he develops emotions.
Actual love.
Right.
So just,
and that threw him off.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple other characters that come in. And they're like, Lucy, one of his older brother, Menadiel, and we call him Lucy, and youngest brother, Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, Joe, Lucifer hated calling Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really a threatening
yeah.
name. Hey, Lucy, come over here.
A little feminine, yep.
Right. So, they all these supernatural immortals, they all develop emotions, and they become more immortalized. So, there's a point where Lucifer tells Chloe, he's like, I'm the devil. I'm invincible. Literally take your gun, shoot me in the foot. So she does, and he starts bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm bleeding. And she's like, I shot you. Oh my God, I shot you.
So, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, and I guess I wanted to ask you this just before we go on to any of the other characters is like, it is a show that I know probably turned a lot of people off the Christian, you know, all the Christian viewers and it,
right.
that's kind of what it did for me too for a little bit, but really, why do you think people should still watch this show? Because I mean, you pride yourself on, you know, your beliefs too, but you
absolutely.
Don't, and that has nothing to do with, there's not a reason that you didn't watch this show because of it. So what makes this show still
watchable
with the you know, the name of it,
so,
and the actual line of it?
So yeah, when I first stumbled upon on Netflix, I was like, I'm not watching this, it's
mm-hmm.
Lucifer. But then, you know, on a cold night, and I didn't have nothing else
on a quarantine day,
I started watching Lucifer. I was like, this is a real, because I knew it was a crime show.
Okay.
And I was like, alright, maybe this is alright.
Okay.
You know, it's just another Criminal Minds, and yes, mm-hmm. I've seen all those all the time,
right.
and it was something new.
Mm-hmm.
So I started watching it, and I was like, I kind of like sci-fi. And mm-hmm. then the way they interacted, and how correct they actually put effort in the religious side of it
mm-hmm.
with the character, the traits, like having
mm-hmm.
everything there. I was like, I'll give this a shot.
Yeah.
If you first, I mean, take the name Lucifer. Lucifer and Satan are the same person, but Satan is known as the devil.
Right.
And Lucifer was the most beautiful angel.
Yeah.
So I gave that. I was like, all right, maybe it's, you know, the good side.
Yeah.
And then you,
which is not. But
and then it transpired, and I was like, this is a very addicting show.
Yeah.
The first episode, not the best episode, but
which a lot of shows are
right.
like that. You gotta
they're developing the first four characters.
Mm.
And by the time season four rolls along, there's so many different...
Am I
like,
how many seasons are
there? There are four seasons, and the fifth season's coming out in May.
Okay.
So
is it a little bit of a cliffhanger? Could you tell? That
there's a cliffhanger, and I'm here for it, and when May happens...
Yeah. Hopefully it's not like a Game of Thrones and
hopefully.
People get really pissed off.
Hopefully we're not in quarantine.
Yeah, you know, hopefully, hopefully we can get out and do something and burn your time before
that.
Right,
wait. Yeah, but I'd say give it a shot
mm-hmm.
if you like crime shows.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of like that sci-fi vibe.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the thing when it comes down to it, really. If you look at it kind of as a show that really... We deal with a lot of, you know, you have all these crime shows and stuff, and if you go into it, I feel like, with that attitude, that you're going to just be watching another crime show.
Right.
And
it's like you've seen the cliche ones with Morgan, the Russian for Criminal Minds, and
yeah.
they do their thing. With Lucifer, with Lucifer, you don't know what Lucifer's going to do while being on the good side.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. I mean, I think they just kind of went for a different look to a murder series that they could kind of tie in with stuff other than, hey, this guy killed somebody. Oh, what are the fingerprints like?
Right.
We'll find out by the end of the episode. It's like,
where Lucifer's like, yeah, I'm going to take this evidence. We don't need this. His scent's here. And he left his debit card here, so I'm going to go see where he spent it. He's, like, using the things that you don't see in the other crimes.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah,
hey, I'm going to use this evidence real quick and be like, what this guy look like? You know, like, who was the victim? And then you find out those characters that, who's the bad guy. But there's also a lot of romance in here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I was going to
ask
you.
There's
about
some
that.
Romance. So Chloe, who is the second main character, she's married to Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get into Dan. Lucifer and Dan don't like each other.
Okay.
They both like Chloe.
We all know those people.
Lucifer calls Dan Detective Dish.
Okay.
But he has that like British accent. He's like Dish, and I'm like
okay.
Dish. I'm like, oh,
you had to look into that a lot.
Right. So, and then you know Chloe has a daughter named Trixie,
mm-hmm.
and Chloe joins the force because her dad was a cop.
Okay.
And then Chloe's dad dies on the scene. Like, the murderer killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And no one, that case was unsolved.
Okay.
So she didn't know, you know, she had that drive to find that killer.
Mm-hmm.
And that moved her character. And you're like, oh, I feel empathy for Chloe. And you're like, dude, Lucifer, like, lighten up with her. Like, stop being so flirtatious. Just let her do her job.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize Chloe kind of likes it, because it's not like an attention thing, but it made Chloe start thinking outside the box. She followed the dotted line,
mm-hmm.
while Lucifer was folding it up and making a snowflake.
Yeah. So, was this the only really big relationship on the show, or were there other?
There were some other ones. So
okay.
The next character is Amenadiel, who I've already brought up earlier. He's Lucifer's oldest brother.
Okay.
He's the strongest angel. He's the guy that, you know, all muscle, big guy.
Yep.
And the only person he ever liked was Lucifer. That was his favorite brother.
Okay.
Which was weird because God's favorite child was Amenadiel.
Right, yeah.
Well, kind
so,
of.
Yeah, I mean...
After the fact.
Yeah. So, it's the way that he goes about it and just being able to... since he's friends with him, though, then since he likes him, isn't he... But he's still trying to do what's best for him, right? And he's telling him that hell needs him back.
Amenadiel... I wouldn't say he's doing what's best for Amenadiel. Amenadiel's listening to God. God wants Lucifer back in hell so it can be under control.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole place down there was kind of crazy. But he gets into a relationship with this girl named Linda, who is Lucifer's therapist.
Okay.
Because, you know, I guess if you're the devil, you have some anger issues.
But do they need their... I mean, they just go down and blow stuff up, right? Do they get mad? I mean,
well, see, the problem is that when the... Immortals, they all have this way. They can't, besides Lucifer, who doesn't care, because he's
mm-hmm.
a rebel.
Right.
They can't show their immortality to the humans.
I understand.
Because it might freak them out. I mean,
I was
going to
say,
imagine,
that was another question I had for you. Does he go into the show, and
like,
you know, knowledge? to people, does he pretty much just say who he is, or does
Yeah, his license plate says Fallen One.
Okay.
And then...
Oh, that could be.
His full name is Lucifer Morningstar.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm the devil. And of course, you know, all these are like, oh, that's so sweet.
Satanic people out there.
And then, right. And
he's another one of those.
And what's crazy is he hates the description that people are painting for him. It's like, I don't have these horns. I don't have this tail. I have wings. I don't have this. I don't have that. And, you know, my skin's not like that. And he's like, this is a horrible drawing of me. And it just, like, gets, like, it was those little things.
Because nobody sees these people. Like, really, and we think about it, like, how, biblically, we think about how the devil is really a normal person. And it's not like we see all these horns and stuff that
right.
we just automatically assume. It was a fallen angel. It's somebody that actually was a human being. And they have traits just like us. It's just, like, it's kind of crazy that that's what we've, I don't really know where it first started, but the way that envision that vision, like the whole
I'm sure it was depicted in the Bible. There was a way they described the devil. But even then, do we really know if they actually saw the devil or if they saw
a description of the devil.
But moving on from that, so Amenadiel gets a relationship with the therapist, but that's after, you know, this angel that follows God, he had sex with Mazikeen, who goes by Maze. That's Lucifer's number one demon who tortured everybody the worst.
Mm-hmm.
This angel had sex with this demon, so now Amenadiel's wings, like, rot, and he loses his powers. And it's God punishing him. He's like, kind of like, yo man, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's sinning, basically.
It is. And moving on to Mazikeen, though. So Maze, this is the baddest person... Well, superhuman person that loves torture but has her knife collection. When Maze is first introduced, she has this cloth with like 50 knives and she knows how to throw them. She like, you know, plays them. She's always swinging them around. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. She's the main torturer in hell. She follows Lucifer into Los Angeles, falls in love with Amenadiel early on, but then develops a soft side with Trixie, which is Chloe's daughter. But it wasn't even, like, harmful. She was legitimately worried and trying to protect Trixie.
Yeah.
And naturally, well, is this demon really a bad person? Yeah. And she becomes a bounty hunter.
Okay, so...
So she lives with Chloe later on and becomes a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And we're like, what is wrong? I kept giving the show. I was like, all right, this person's going bad to hell. This is done. And then, bam, she's a good guy now.
So a lot of twists and turns
there
on the show. So that's something that keeps the fans on their toes and kind of what... And that was something kind of I saw in, like, same with Gotham. Where
yes.
I thought something like that, too. Where things just would move along and you'd be like, whoa, where'd that come from? And that was something that I liked in that show, too. And it seems like a lot of that in here. So...
The next couple of these characters are... These are mortals. There's one more character who believes at the end I'm going to mention is immortal. So we think.
Mm-hmm.
And the first person here is Linda, the therapist. She is this nice elder lady. Yeah, I'd say elder. She's like 50.
Linda's an older name, though.
She's a nice lady. She's
I don't know anybody named Linda our age.
She's like 50. She likes her wine. And she deals
hey,
with...
Hey.
she deals with Lucifer's problems. She deals with Maze's problems. And she eventually has a child... With the Amenadiel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a spoiler. It's brought up very early on.
Okay.
And it's weird. You have a child with this angel who had sex with the demon. You're kind of confused. And she's Lucifer's priority, you know, like, patient in a way.
Mm.
Where Lucifer, anytime there were problems, he'd be like, Linda, I need help. And Linda's like, all right. And she starts taking her clothes off, you know. and Lucifer's like, no, I'm serious, like, not that. And she's like, oh, okay, you know, put them back on, mind her own business. You know, everybody desires to be with Lucifer.
Right.
And that's, him walking in, it literally attracted girls just to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, even showed he had a sauce. He's like, no, I'm here for actual help. I don't want the funny business.
Right, yeah, well.
And this guy, this next guy, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, he's a cliche guy. Dan's the guy that, when he's introduced, you're like, yo, man, you take your job too serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Dwight.
It's kind of like the opposite of the Dan we know. Yeah.
I love the Dan we know. Dan the man.
No, he is like Dwight. Yeah, the people that really just overdo it. And you're like trying hard and you're like, oh my gosh,
right.
This guy's the worst.
But he tries so hard to be a nice guy.
Yep.
Hates Lucifer, but then kind of likes Lucifer. He's like, hey, man.
But if you hate Lucifer, aren't you kind of like a good guy?
Well, right, yeah, you are. But at the same time, Lucifer was, you know, the whole thing of Los Angeles, trying to be a new person. He was legitimately trying to, like, not be a good guy, but not be known as the ruler of hell.
Right, right.
And there are times where Dan and Lucifer had their, like, you know, bro moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they actually have a good chat, and then Lucifer always makes a joke. He's like, so, was having sex with Chloe really that good? And he's like, bro, I thought we were actually having a moment, and you're over here. And then... Then there's Ella. Ella. She is the forensic scientist for the LAPD.
Mm.
She's that very spunky girl.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves Ella, besides the lieutenant, who I'll get into later. She thinks Lucifer's literally just cosplaying as the devil.
Yeah, just innocence.
Yeah, and she's very religious.
Okay.
So she never saw anything wrong with Lucifer Morningstar. She saw it as just a name that a family gave that son that name.
Mm-hmm.
And she took her job seriously. She could never figure out whenever Lucifer would touch evidence. You know, that's what the first time they would examine stuff, find fingerprints, and
yeah.
figure out how to put things back together. She never understood why his fingerprints never were there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she could never trace them. She's like, how do you do that? I don't wear gloves. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But Ella is that character that everybody likes
mm-hmm.
and takes her job seriously, but she also makes jokes at the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say there's a guy that took, like, an axe to the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of gruesome. She's like, yo, I wonder if this person would axe someone earlier. She makes those jokes. And she's like, too soon. And, of course, Lucifer's laughing.
Yeah, everybody else probably.
and Chloe just looks, and she's like... And I was like, all right, I'll just do my job now.
you know, sounds like this other... That's kind of where I was kind of connected, where they have this little awkward moments, too. Though.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
And you love her. If you go into the show and you don't like Ella... Just remember, she's trying to make your day happy.
Okay. Fair enough.
Trixie, the daughter. She becomes a main character later on. She's Chloe and Dan's daughter. And Chloe and Dan have issues. She's basically always asking why Dan's not always at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obvious reasons for that. But Trixie, be having that hard family... She loves Lucifer and loves Maze.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer hates children.
Mm.
We all know somebody that doesn't like children.
yeah.
and it was kind of weird that Lucifer always wanted to make sure Trixie was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lucifer saw children as pure.
Right.
And he goes, I don't want to be the person to ruin you. You have a chance, is literally what he would say to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, thanks, Lucifer. And then Maze comes in with her knives, and she's like, cool, can I have one? And Maze's like, yeah, sure, here you go, kid. And then Chloe just takes it away. She's like, she is 7 years old. And she's like, I started doing her since, you know, the year 922.
all this unrelatable stuff to everyone else.
Right. And, you know, that's all I can really say with Trixie. She's just a young girl that develops, not bad habits, but develops how to be that, you know, class clown,
mm-hmm.
but never took it too far.
Right.
Charlotte Richards. You feel bad. When you first see Charlotte Richards introduced, she's dead. Literally the first scene she's in, she's dead. There is a knife or a hammer, I can't remember which. Literally, she's at the crime scene, just dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then God's wife takes over that body.
Oh, okay.
And everybody's...
So she was able to come back.
Right. So God's wife... escapes hell. I know that sounds weird.
Yeah.
God's wife is literally the most locked up person in hell. Like, there's, you know, all these entrances to hell, and then there's this one room that's chained up.
Mm-hmm.
That's where God's wife was. And she's back, you know, she's like, Lucy, I love you, I'm so glad you're home, where's your brother Amelia? I hear he's in town. And she's, we need this whole family back together. And Lucifer's like, you need to go back to hell. And then Amelia's like, so do you. This one is like, you know, you don't want to see besides laugh. You're like,
right,
that's a good
yeah.
one, man.
So, and, I guess, kind of coming down to it all, this show, the real questions I kind of had for you or somebody, since you obviously are a huge fan of the show, is with all the things that happen on this, or like they're showing all this on Earth, is, you know, we talk about heaven, we talk about hell, are those involved in the show? Do they show any of that? Or is it just kind of like spoken of more than anything?
They show hell about 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's so whenever they send Charlotte, which is at this point God's wife, when they send her back to another dimension, not even hell, they show the portal. They, you know, the camera basically goes in and they show just emptiness. And then they have to get Charlotte back from hell,
mm-hmm.
and you know, when you're in hell, it's a loop of the reason why you're there. It loops why you're there.
Okay.
So Lucifer kills himself
mm-hmm.
to go into hell, had Linda and Chloe bring him back to life after a 5-minute timer. But in hell, 5 minutes is an eternity.
Yeah.
So he has all the time he needs to get Charlotte out.
Yeah.
Gets her out, and you see the whole thing. You just see, like, a ghost town. Think of, you know, in SpongeBob, where he's in the graveyard?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's that spookiness, you know?
Yeah.
It's literally how it looked in hell.
Right.
And then you see, like, just a lot of gray and a bunch of open doors, and you see, you know, like, behind windows, you see people crying, you see people, like, trying to get out, and the only way you can escape hell is by accepting what you did was wrong. That's the way they made it in the show.
Yeah.
And he comes back, and you see hell, like, four times, I would say.
Okay. And, I mean, that's kind of something that I'm sure that'll interest a lot of people, just because it's something that we kind of don't really feel like we have a good grasp on that stuff. Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, and really what it came down to, I'm going to ask you the same question you asked me, and who is your favorite character when it comes down to it in this show?
Oh, it's Ella.
Just because of that.
Ella, for sure. Because
of the smile that you get.
It's the smile you get from her. Lucifer is, I feel like if I say Lucifer, my favorite character.
Everybody's like, oh, you didn't watch it.
So Lucifer is an alright guy.
Yeah.
But Ella has faith in everybody. She accepted Chloe's Chloe, Dan is Dan, Lucifer's Lucifer, Trixie's, you know, everybody. And I like the genuineness. She literally tried to do her best for everybody. She put forth effort when nobody else did. And whenever someone needed her help, she would put her own problems away to help them first.
Yeah.
So you empathize with her, and I loved her for it, and I hope she's back in season 5. There's a rumor she won't be in it, but there's also rumors she will be. And I think that's just them playing games with me, so I have to watch it.
Well, that has been very interesting. I appreciate you sharing that with us, the whole thing about Lucifer. And I really hope I enlighten you guys about The Office as well. I think that we really, with these shows, it's some way for us both, and like hopefully for you guys to be able to, you know, experience this and being able to get through this hard time that we're in as a country right now, being able to occupy all your time and get through it. But we appreciate you watching Mike's Divide and listening to us here on the show. We, once again, you know, the whole reason behind Mike's Divide is we want to be able to share different inputs, different opinions. We like all that stuff. So, you know, obviously we're not all just about sports. So if you guys have anything you guys want us to talk about, feel free to comment below, subscribe to our channel. Listen to us. We're now on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We got all that going. So we look forward to seeing you guys next time, and thanks for listening.